Start your day.
The Big Show.
3BA.
FM 102.3.
Let's shoot the breeze with Alex Center from thebigsmoke.com.au. Good morning to you, Alex.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. No, I'm actually not. I'm lying.
Know.
I'm lying if I tell you that I'm doing very well, because I'm not. I'm back on the sick list, unfortunately, but that's the way it goes. It's become my new normal, Alex.
Yeah. It's not a good normal to have, though.
No, it's a terrible normal to have. But nonetheless, we are here, so let's press ahead and talk about why the word denier, Alex Center, has become the most commonly used English word in 2022.
So this comes from the Global Language Monitor, which looks into the way language usage is across the internet, so print, online, social media. And basically, the analysts pull together a list of words that are the most commonly used phrases or words in the English-speaking world on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, you know, emails, Google, everything. And basically, what they've done is over the past 3 years, they've tracked how the pandemic has actually influenced global conversation. And what they found was that it was actually the word denier that was consistently used across different social media platforms. It was the most used word, especially going into, you know, the language of academia, science, technology, all of those things online. So it became the number one trending word since COVID. So basically, the second non-pandemic word was Ukraine, and then climate change and global warming were continuing to be like top-ranking phrases that are consistently used throughout the 21st century.
Now, can I add to that, Alex, because I'd like to do this because we Australians have 1 week left to have our say before the Macquarie Dictionary People's Choice Word of the Year is announced. And let me tell you, there's some out-of-the-box options, but the one that I want to focus on here, have you ever heard of bachelor's handbag before?
No.
Right. This is one of the terms, if you like. They're saying it's the word of the year, but there's quite a few that are up for grabs here, that there are more than one word. But anyway, I don't know how they work that out. But anyway, bachelor's handbag is a possibility. Now, just to enlighten you and everyone else who doesn't know, because I certainly didn't, a bachelor's handbag is the takeaway roast chicken from your local supermarket. You know, the one in the plastic bag?
I never would have guessed that.
There you go. So when you're walking past the roast chickens next time, you go, oh, I just might get myself a bachelor's handbag for dinner tonight.
That's very funny. I never knew that.
Yeah, there you go. School's in. You learn something new every day, don't you, Alex?
Exactly.
Hey, let's talk about the moon. And last week, I couldn't quite fathom what another trip to the moon would actually do for the human race. But with NASA's Artemis spacecraft now orbiting the moon, we're hearing that by 2030, it's quite possible that astronauts will actually be able to live and work on the moon, Alex.
Yeah, so basically we're looking at a spacecraft that can fly within 60 miles of the moon and then continue for a further 40,000 miles. So basically traveling on a 25-day mission. That's the furthest that a spacecraft's been built for humans. And basically they're looking into having an opportunity to where this program can essentially allow people to live and work around the moon. This is really around exploration and understanding sustainability around the surface of the moon as well. And, you know, this could be something that's really important for deep space exploration. So basically this would be a giant rocket. And it could, you know, it's successfully now carried 3 fully suited mannequins, and done so at around 83,000 miles from the moon, so 134,000 kilometers. So it's the first time we've seen this, you know, pretty historical. And it basically means deep space exploration could be a consistent thing that can be happening in the future, as opposed to what's happening now, which is a bit more trial and error in terms of actually getting out there.
Interesting stuff indeed. To wrap up our chat this morning, let's shoot the breeze about coffee. Alex Center from thebigsmoke.com.au. Now, before you reach for that cup of coffee, and I've already had two this morning, the moment you wake up, look at the research, because it's saying that you should start drinking coffee after 9:30 a.m. Why is it so, please, Alex?
Well, I mean, there's been so many studies that say, you know, when you should have coffee, what sort of coffee you should have, the health benefits. This particular research looked into the cortisol levels, which is our main stress hormone. And basically what it did is it looked into when consumption of the coffee boosts our cortisol levels. And that can actually cause more of a jittery effect as opposed to feeling more awake. So what they found was that when you have your coffee from around 9:30, between 9:30 a.m. to 11 a.m., that's the best time, and it means that the people get the most out of the benefits from coffee. So they found that that's the most optimal time every day. But of course, some people, you know, have coffee all through the day. Other people's bodies respond to coffee differently. So for example, caffeine shuts down the sleep hormone. So people talk about, you know, not having coffee, you know, 6 hours before bed, whereas other people can have coffee after dinner and still sleep. So you have to still look at what works for you in terms of your own cortisol levels. But generally, consistently across this particular study, it was around the 9:30 to 11 a.m. mark, and then another major dip between 1 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Yeah, I'm not giving up my coffee habit at 5:30 a.m. That's when I have my first.
No, I think you need it.
Absolutely. But my last is at 9 a.m., so my last coffee's at 9, and I have a cup of tea in the afternoon, early afternoon, and that is it where coffee and tea is concerned. And I've that has been my regime for quite some time now, and I must admit that I'm actually sleeping a bit better at night without having the coffee, because I'd be drinking coffee into the late afternoon. And even, as you said, I'd be having one after dinner as well. No wonder I haven't been sleeping properly.
Do you have coffee before you exercise?
Well, yeah, because I don't exercise till the early part of the afternoon. So I've already had, you know, 4 coffees in the morning.
Because what the research also found that was around 30 minutes before exercise was the best time as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Righto. Well, yeah, as I said, I've been ditching coffee. My last coffee's at 9 a.m. and I don't drink coffee for the rest of the day. So perhaps I need a little pep in my step before I go and exercise as well. We'll see. I'll report back to you on that one, all right?
Okay.
Alex Center from thebigsmoke.com.au. Lovely to shoot the breeze as always. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.